Brilliant, Mark. So very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. I'm having such separation anxiety from my step class because we play that class all the time, and it's like Pavlov's dog here in my office.
So
I'm
funny.
Just looking for a step to jump on and off to.
We've never played it before. It's the first time we've played it.
Well, welcome to the mayhem that is my step class at the gym. But before we get into the topics, and it is Workers' Day, I just want to say a huge thank you, Howard, to you, to Kathy, to Zanati, to Lindiwe, to DJ Flo, to everybody who's working behind the scenes and on air to make sure that we keep together while we are trying to get through this together. So thank you guys, because it really makes a difference, I think, to all of us, whether we're here in Israel or there in South Africa, to keep us connected during these very, very strange times.
Thank you. Thank you, Rolina. That is very, very kind of you. The truth is that that somebody said to me the other day, how do you manage when you feel, you know, sort of what do you do at a time like this when you're really getting stressed and overworked and just there's so much stuff going on? I said, well, I go into studio for 3 hours a day. And I tell you that it really helps me as much as it helps other people, because this is just the space that I leave a lot of that anxiety and stuff at the door of the studio, and it's just I have the best time as well. So it definitely does work both ways. It's of course been a very, very emotional week in Israel, as it always is when you have both Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaAtzmaut, add a little bit of COVID anxiety to it, you know, the stories that are coming out around health workers, around people helping each other. It just must be a roller coaster of emotion in Israel.
It is quite extraordinary. And before we get into that, I'm going to touch on the stats, because we've had our third or fourth day in a row where the numbers are quite stunning, and in a good way, where the numbers of people recovering are far outweighing the numbers of people who are currently sick. So where we are at the moment, we have 15,946 confirmed cases since the start of the outbreak of the pandemic. We have 105 in serious condition, which is significantly lower than yesterday's 133. 82 on ventilators, which is down from yesterday's 92. And sadly, we have 222 fatalities. But 561 recovered, which is higher than 7,163 who are sick. So we can get there, guys. You know, we took very, very tough measures. The tough measures are starting to pay off slowly, slowly, slowly. Israel is starting to revive her economy, to wake up, to open up again. We're expecting primary school grades 1 to 3 back at school on Sunday. The loud whoops of joy you've been hearing are parents all over the country who are ecstatic.
I can't imagine. Wow.
Because the 2 months of homeschooling, they've had it. They're at the end of their tether. But let's take a look back on the week. You know, we always see the best and the worst of people in a time of crisis, and we've certainly seen the best of people during this COVID-19 crisis here. And I just want to go back to the evening of Yom HaZikaron, the tekes, or the ceremony at the Kotel, which we have every year, which is attended by the bereaved families and dignitaries from the government and the army. And I have to say, it was very, very surreal to see our army in uniform, our RDF guard of honor, and of course our president all standing there wearing masks. It's very, very surreal. And, you know, the ceremony has deeper meaning because it's at the Kotel. And, you know, when you hear the Chazan, Shai Abramson, sing and that magnificent voices, you know, bounces off the walls and bounces off the plaza, it just had more power. But what really did it for us was at the end of the ceremony, before the singing of Hatikva, was the request for everybody to go out onto their balconies and to sing Hatikva, which of course we did. I don't know if I sang, Howard. I think I more like sobbed through Hatikva. But it was a profound moment that we've shared during this crisis, and which is echoed by the very first one, which was the saluting of medical professionals, and then the singing of Manish Tana together for the first night. Well, we only have one night of Pesach here, but the stories coming out have been absolutely amazing. And it's times like this when you see that people are able to just get over their differences, get over the conflicts, and just work together for the greater good. I'm talking to you people, Africa for Palestine, or whatever you're calling yourselves these days. It's come out in the media that Hamas have very, very quietly let doctors and healthcare professionals from Gaza come into Israel, come to learn skills, how to cope, how to deal with COVID-19, bring that back to the territories. We've had the work done by Colgate unit allowing medical aid, medical gear into the Gaza Strip, the work being done with the Palestinian Authority and Israel to help combat COVID-19 in the Palestinian Authority-controlled areas. And, of course, here in Israel, you know, one of my favorite stories of the week is an Arab healthcare worker, nurse in one of our assisted living facilities. It's Ramadan and Ramadan Mubarak to all our Muslim sinners. And, you know, the resident said to her, "You don't have to cook for us. It's Ramadan." And she said, "No, I love you guys. You are family, and I'm not leaving my family, especially those who are Holocaust survivors. I'm not leaving them. Even though it's Ramadan." And that's just the spirit of Israel that you don't get to see in the media.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, that, and I think that we are starting to see, and we're seeing it all around the world, along with the horror that is COVID-19 and the tragedy that it's bringing. It certainly is also, in many cases, showing the best of us.
Well, it is, and it's, you know, in these times of crisis where you either see people's leadership abilities come to the fore, or you see people become absolute disasters. No names mentioned, Harry and Meghan, but we've seen it here with, and especially amongst our care workers, there's the incredible image of the Arab and the Jewish Magen David Adom workers both taking time out to pray. And it was so meaningful because they may have been facing different direction. The Arab Muslim to Mecca, the Jewish paramedic to Jerusalem, but they were praying together at the same time.
Alongside
each other. The nurse in the COVID ward, you know, bringing a talit wrapped up, bringing a Torah wrapped up in the talit, he in his PPE, bringing it to the patients who were a majority from B'nai B'rak. And he said, you know, it gives him an immense sense of pleasure to be able to do this for them. It uplifts them. It's something special. It helps their spirit. And of course it helps their health during this time. And it's so special. And we've seen so many of these, of these incidents. Also at a time where we're seeing a horrible rise in domestic violence around the world. And here I have to give my hat off to the women's organizations in Israel, Emuna, Na'amat, and of course Witzo, who are doing their bit to ensure that women and children are kept safe and from harm. Witzo just this week opened up a third facility where moms and kids who are in abusive situations can come and be in bidud, be in quarantine before having to go into a shelter. It's kind of like a halfway shelter. And these are the kinds of things that are being done. And now the tremendous work being done by teachers and the support staff around the country trying to prepare the schools for this. I mean, as parents and teachers can understand that these are unprecedented times, and the preparation that you have to put on the ground is completely different to a normal opening up of school after the holidays.
It's absolutely incredible, the amount of effort. And I see it here with our schools as well. My daughter's at Yeshiva College. What I have seen, the effort that they have put into it, and the way in which the teachers, the social workers, the every single level of person involved in the school have been, and I believe all the schools are like that, or the majority of the schools, I'm just talking from our own experience, have been absolutely incredible. What we've seen from our medical people, the president of the Heart Association getting hold of me yesterday to say he wants to talk about the fact that people aren't taking care of themselves if they have chronic conditions. They need to keep going into the hospital to get that checked. We don't want to have a fallout in other areas. We see, you know, the Dr. Anton Marburg every single day updating us, speaking to us, answering our questions. You just see the most incredible side of human spirit and commitment to each other. It is absolutely mind-blowing to see what we are capable of as people.
I have to commend both you and Dr. Marburg on your weekly podcast, I know via Synthesis, because it's something that I'm sharing with my networks throughout the world, and they're really gaining perspective, they're gaining better knowledge, and it's also helping them feel calm and informed during this time. And you know, while we're talking about this week in Israel, I have to talk about Yom HaAtzmaut. It was as about as subdued as you're going to get in Israel. Difficult to be at home and not the forest and on the beaches and watching the flyover. But our magnificent Israeli Air Force acrobatics teams going from hospital to hospital around the country and performing an acrobatic feat as a thank you to our frontline workers. And also we forget very important frontline workers, the supermarket cashiers and workers having to put up with sometimes a tremendous amount of abuse from frustrated customers, but they're getting on with the job and they're doing it. And, you know, my only complaint for the week, Howard, was my neighbor whipping up the karaoke machine. Nobody should have had to endure that. And, you know,
it's
if you go to
at
have
a time like this
national
when you're locked
holidays
at home.
In lockdown.
Yeah, there should be a
you know,
total
if you go
banning.
To national holidays in lockdown, karaoke. At least people coordinate your playlists. And please, no karaoke. No, nobody deserves to be punished like that in lockdown.
Yeah, that is just gratuitous cruelty. Don't you think, Zanati? I mean, can you imagine? What if anyone played helicopter? Unlikely. It's incredible. Rodin, I just want to go back to the issue of domestic violence. You know, in South Africa, obviously, we know it's a massive, massive issue. And there is real concern around it during lockdown. But somehow, everything, maybe that's the nature of what this is happening below the surface. And actually, we don't hear much of it. We know it's a problem. We know people are giving money to trying to help, but we don't really. It just bubbles beneath the surface.
It does, but I actually have heard from a friend of mine that a neighbor of hers, upstairs neighbor, they heard screams the other day and police came. So it is happening, but I guess it's not really out in the
out
media.
There.
Yeah.
Yes. So Raline, I would imagine that, as you've said, it's a problem in Israel. It's a problem everywhere around the world. How is it dealt with because the nature of it is so private and behind closed doors, especially at a time like this?
Well, first of all, one thing we have to acknowledge is that gender-based violence, domestic violence is a societal problem. It's a global societal problem and needs to be tackled as a global societal problem. One thing about Israel is it has been given a lot of coverage in the media. We've had two horrible incidents over the past week or so with two women being killed by their spouses. So it has gotten a lot of mainstream news coverage here. It's a big topic of discussion. It's also a discussion that takes place in briefings. I know that the various women's organizations have been working together, but also drawing on their individual strengths to try and look for solutions to help. And I can speak on what WITO is doing. First of all, we've got and unfortunately they're not operating right now, so we've had to find other ways to work them, which are centers for the prevention of domestic violence. So we've got those helplines absolutely running to capacity. We also run the only two hotlines for men who are violent in the country, and those are also packed to capacity, but we're just grateful that men are picking up the phone and phoning before acting out against their partners or their children. But we've had to call in extra volunteers to man those lines as well. But the real victory this week for us has been able to open up this extra shelter for women who have to be removed from the situation with their children as quickly as possible. Also, we have two lines in the country. This is not just organization specific, where women can phone without being detected. You know, when you are in closed quarters, it's very, very hard to get phone to, you know, to dial for help. And these are easy to use numbers that they can just leave the line open and help, and it goes straight to the police and to the security, and that help can come as quickly as possible. It can be traced. It is a very, very, very serious issue, and it is one that all I can say is thank goodness in Israel there is a lot of conversation and there's a lot of exposure to the dangers happening.
And thank goodness we have organizations doing amazing work. Really, Marx, this is unfortunately where we love and leave you. It's already 8:01. We are slightly late. Have a wonderful weekend. Have a Shabbat Shalom. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay sane, or I don't know. I think that's a little too late.